Joining me now, however, is journalist extraordinaire and broadcast partner Leo Holman. Leo, welcome back to Lindell TV. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes, thanks for having me back, Brannon.
How about that lineup we're going to have tonight, huh?
Impressive. Yeah, I can't wait to hear Peter Pry.
Yeah, that's going to be it's shocking how fast China's moving. All right, let's talk about some of the issues that you're confronting over at leohoman.com, Leo, H-O-H-M-A-N-N.com. And again, Leo and I are working on a lot of articles together. You'll find those at worldviewtimes.com. Leo and I are cranking out almost one a day now at worldviewtimes.com, but he is the proprietor of his own website at Leo Holman, H-O-H-M-A-N-N, leohoman.com. Leo, what have you been writing about the last couple of days? What's the news you want to bring to our audience?
I'm very concerned, Brannon, about the COVID vaccine, so-called vaccine shots that are being prepared for children. The government has already purchased the shots, 60 or 80 million of these things to go into the arms of 5 to 11-year-olds, Brannon. So it was always a done deal. We, in the eyes of Dr. Fauci, he was talking months ago, back in the spring, early summer, that all of America's children, school children, as he called them, the school children would all be vaccinated by the end of the year. And now we just got word today that the FDA advisory committee voted to advise the FDA to go ahead and approve the emergency use authorization for these shots for 5 to 11-year-olds. It's a Pfizer vaccine. It will be emergency use only, just like they did with the adult shots, meaning it's completely experimental. They have no clue how these shots will affect the children months down the road, let alone years. And we're going to start giving these things the first or second week of November, according to Fauci. They're not fully approved yet. People need to understand that. But the government has gone ahead and purchased the doses. Like I said, now this advisory panel has voted to recommend approval for the emergency use. All that is waiting now is for the FDA to actually give its ruling, and we know how that ruling is going to go. They're going to approve it, and these doses are going to start being administered to the children probably by the second week of November, possibly earlier.
Let's show a screenshot, Logan. Can we show a screenshot of Leo's website, Logan? You want to tell me in my ear if that's up? Oh, you got to grab my computer? All right. Do I need to turn on NDI, or is it already on? All right. Okay, you got it. So they're seeing it
right now.
Okay, there we go. So Fauci and the Globe. We got to get my monitor back in here. Hey, Reagan, maybe you can work on that. Don't you love that kid's name, by the way, Reagan? You are named after Ronald Reagan, right, Reagan?
Yes.
I mean, yes, he's proud of it too. Good for you. I almost named one of my kids Reagan. By the way, I almost named Delta over here Reagan, but Michael Reagan said, you're going to name your dog after my dad. And I guess I took that as a don't do that. So I didn't do that. So she's Delta, not Reagan. But, Reagan is one of the new guys being trained in the control room so that Logan can actually have some help in there. Why Fauci in the, you think he's going to pass, Logan? Is he smart enough to pass and do this? Well, you got a lot to live up to with that name, Reagan. Why Fauci and the global cabal insist your children be injected for protection against a disease that poses no threat to their health? Speaking of Reagan, Ronald Reagan once said, don't be afraid to see what you see, end quote. He made this statement, this is Leo Holman writing, he made this statement in his farewell address on January 11th, 1989. He was giving advice on how U.S. foreign policy should view the former Soviet Union as it tried to shed its image as brutal totalitarian society. What Reagan was trying to say is if it still looks like communism, then it probably is. Don't pay attention to what they call it. Pay attention to how it looks, how it feels to those living under the regime. And of course, again, this is all about Fauci insisting children are injected. And yet we have had one medical doctor, Leo, on here after another telling us there is no reason to have children injected with this poison. We know what's in it. Karen Kingston, the former Pfizer employee, will join us at the 8 o'clock Central Time hour to tell us more about what's in this. But we know this is not what we should be giving our kids. What is the death rate, by the way, been for children, 5 to 11?
Fewer than 100 in the entire country, Brandon. A few dozen out of the millions and millions and millions of children that age. And when this committee started its video, they had a video of it, the committee meeting this afternoon. It just wrapped up a couple of hours ago. And I just listened to some of the testimony, and the chairman of the committee, when he launched the meeting, he described what the job of the committee was, and he said it was to decide decide if the, quote, benefits outweigh the risks of this two-dose injection for children 5 to 11. This, Brandon, this is unbelievable. There are no risks to children 5 to 11. So it's impossible for the benefits to outweigh the risk because there is no risk. Statistically, there is no risk. The number is so small. And I bet if we investigated the three or four dozen, they say, in that age bracket who have died of COVID, we would find that they had extremely, extremely serious underlying health conditions that are what really led to their death, not COVID. And so It is a travesty. It is going to be a crime against humanity what we are about to do with our children, injecting them with an experimental vaccine that has unproven, untested, and they have an entire lifetime to live with the consequences. It's infuriating.
It absolutely is. Let's talk about another article. Have you posted this article yet? I know you're working on one. The Global Blueprint Exposed, the Takeover of All Genetic Material on Earth. You're working. I mean, this is a deep topic. We could get into the weeds really, yes, really fast on this. But you're going to do a good job, I know, breaking this down in layman terms. Are you? Is that out
yet?
Yeah,
I'm working in cooperation. I've worked in cooperation with Patrick Wood on that article.
Right.
And it is incorporated, the first installment anyway, into the article that you have up about why Fauci and the global cabal are insisting your children get injected. It all goes back to 1987 and 1992 with the biodiversity conference that was held in 1992 in conjunction with the Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Earth Summit. And so, I really encourage people to read this article, because once they do, they will understand, Brandon, once and for all, why the global elites, the establishment, is so intent on getting every man, woman, and child injected with this vaccine. It has absolutely nothing to do with public health.
Okay, all right, so everybody, I think most of our regulars know the Earth Summit in Rio, 1992, that was the biodiversity treaty. Sustainable Development, Agenda 21, now called Agenda 2030. That was led by Maurice Strong. In my documentary Siege, I show a video clip of George H. Bush there speaking and praising Maurice Strong and signing America into this treaty. And he praises Maurice Strong, who is, by the way, the individual that talked about us not having air conditioning and all these kind of things, and the one that said that the only hope for the planet is that the industrialized civilizations collapse. Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? They were for depopulation. Of course, now it's called Agenda 2030. So you're telling me, now this is fascinating, you're telling me that Patrick Wood, who's a regular guest here with Technocracy.News, has made a connection between the COVID and the genetic mRNA and experiments that Fauci's doing on us, and that started back in 1989 or somewhere around there, and the connection back to Agenda 2030, Agenda 21 in 1992. What is that connection?
He absolutely has made that connection, and that's why this article is so important. I break it down in a little bit easier format, I think, for people to read. That's really all I can say that I contributed to this, but Patrick has done most of the research. And he finds that in the book, in the report, it's called the Brundtland Report. It was published in 1987, also under the title Our Common Future. You may remember that,
right.
Our Common Future. 1987, it was a UN-sanctioned, UN-commissioned report on the biodiversity of the Earth. And in that 1987 publication, Patrick found very damning statements where they were looking to collect DNA and exploit the DNA of every living thing, both human and animal, for future economic and biomedical purposes. And let me just read you this one quote from that article.
Yeah, because I was about to read it, so you read it, please.
The diversity of species is necessary for the normal functioning of ecosystems and the biosphere as a whole. The genetic material, that being the DNA, in wild species contributes billions of dollars yearly to the world economy in the form of improved crop species, new drugs, and medicines, and draw materials for industry. So there you have it. They're already talking in 1987 about culling and collecting DNA material for the development of new drugs and medicines. And it gets worse from there.
Yeah, keep reading. Keep reading the next paragraph. Look at that. Read the next one.
The specific development of biodiversity is seen in Chapter 6 of that Brundtland Report, Our Common Earth, where it says, species and ecosystems, resources and development. That's Chapter 6. And I quote, species and their genetic materials promise to play an expanding role in development and a powerful economic rationale for emerging to bolster the ethical, aesthetic, and scientific case for preserving them. The genetic variability and germplasm material of species make contributions to agriculture, medicine, and industry worth many billions of dollars per year. So if nations, it says, can ensure the survival of species, the world can look forward to new and improved foods, new drugs and medicines, and new raw materials for industry. So we thought all this time they were concerned about saving the planet, Brandon.
Well, they're concerned about making billions of dollars, aren't they?
Exactly, exactly.
Go on and read the rest, because it keeps getting worse. Read the next line.
Yeah. Quote, vast stocks of biological diversity are in danger of disappearing just as science is learning how to exploit genetic variability through the advances of genetic engineering. It would be a grim irony indeed if, just as new genetic engineering techniques begin to let us peer into life's diversity and use genes more effectively to better human conditions, we looked and found this treasure sadly depleted. So again, they're not concerned about certain animal species becoming extinct or certain ecosystems being destroyed. What they're concerned about is milking this genetic material, collecting it, harvesting it, and then exploiting it. And that's their words, not ours. Exploiting it for the benefit of their economic benefit.
You write, Wood, meaning Patrick Wood, has cracked the biomedical word code. When they use the word biodiversity, they mean genetic resources. Genes are something to be exploited and used more efficiently than they are used in their natural state. The key is to understanding where these global predators are taking us. We're hiding all these years in plain sight in plain English. Wood told me, quote, it's inconceivable to me that this has not been uncovered before, that this connection to the Convention on Biodiversity has not been reported. This certainly explains why biotech and big pharma are holding the entire world hostage over this pandemic, considering that both the virus and the injection are genetically engineered, end quote. This connection went undiscovered until now because we, the people, did not dig in deep enough into those globalist documents and take them seriously. And those who did inspect the documents found that the public did not want to believe what was in them. They were afraid to see what they might see. As Reagan warned, it was easier to write us off as wingnuts and wearers of tinfoil hats. You know, again, for those of you that know and have been following me for decades, you know I've been writing about Agenda 21, the Earth Summit in 1992, almost since that year, interviewing people like Tom DeWeese. I've known Tom DeWeese since about that time. And Tom DeWeese and I, since about 1992, 93, somewhere there, have been working together. And in many of my books, I've been writing about Agenda 21, sustainable development. In my book, Grave Influence, that I wrote in 2008, came out in 2009, I warned about the connection between the UN Biodiversity Treaty, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 now as it's called, from the Earth Summit in Rio 92, and its connection, by their own admission, to globalism. And now we're finding out that the very globalists we've been warning about are also involved in this war on us by exploiting our genetics. I mean, and again, one has to wonder if really at the end of the day, this also comes down to what sustainable development is about, which is a Malthusian worldview that says there are limited resources and the population, yes, of the world can only maintain a certain level acceptable to the available resources. Therefore, we must bring down the world's population. And I think this is all fitting together as to what they're doing.
It really does. And if you think about the advances just in the last 5 to 7 years in how in the digitization world, that's what they're trying to do next. They've got all this data that they've been collecting, but now they want to digitize it, Brannon.
Yep.
And use it as part of a new identification system. That's sort of the other leg of this whole thing. You've got the DNA and the gene editing and the gene splicing and all that, and the injections, mandatory injections on the one hand, and then you've got the digitization of all this data collection on the other hand, being tied in with your new personal global digital ID.
Indeed. Shocking. Shocking. All right. Anything else you need to tell us before we let you go?
I just want to say that this book, I interviewed, if you could see it,
yeah,
the author of this book was a lovely woman named Rosa Corey. She wrote the book Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21. She called it in 2011 in this book. And what I love about it is she boils it down at one point. You know how all-inclusive Agenda 21 is. It has something for every facet of life.
Including, yes, registering everybody on the planet.
Exactly. But she had a really good synopsis. She said if she had to boil it down to one sentence, she would describe Agenda 21 as this: the inventorying, monitoring, and control of all things, both living and non-living. And you think about what this injection is going to do. It is injecting, I believe, markers into people that is going to help these elites inventory every human body on the planet. That's why, this is the key for everyone to understand, that's why they will not rest until, as Biden said, 98% of the human population in this country, and in other countries they're saying they want the same thing, 98% of us are injected with this. They won't rest until they hit that figure. That would make no sense if they were just concerned about wiping out a virus or protecting people against a virus with a legitimate vaccine. The only reason they have such a high figure on there is because they want to take inventory of everybody.
Absolutely. And you can see it in the Sustainable Development Goals. They list,
yes,
them. We've shown the screenshots to prove it. LeoHoman.com, Leo, and then HOHMANN, LeoHoman.com. By the way, we've got a new article coming out. You and I are working on, and you're the writer. I do the research and do the interviews. Then Leo takes these things and turns them into beautiful articles. And I sent you one last night. Said this will be 2 or 3 articles here. I think people enjoy reading. And that's on JFK and my interview with Roger Stone. When will that be out?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, Brandon. We're going to start working on that tomorrow.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, thank you for working with us. We really appreciate it. And I hope people will visit LeoHoman.com to find out about your work over there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Leo. Leo Homan checking in tonight from Georgia.